Good morning. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about Christians and politics. Okay, well, first of all, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. And I want to start out with a weird hypothetical question. It's pretty strange, but humor me. So why were not, what if Jesus and the apostles had been political activists and tried to change the government? Well, the easy answer is that the Romans would have just had them killed immediately. But Jesus was miraculously rescued from the mob several times. The apostles were rescued from prison by angels. So if God had wanted them to try to transform the government, surely that could have happened, right? We know from Scripture that justice is very important to God. So why did Jesus and the apostles never address the injustice of the government they were living under? Well, imagine if they had managed to transform the Roman Empire into a loving and merciful government. Well, where is the Roman Empire today? It doesn't exist. So all that work they spent transforming their government would have disappeared when the government disappeared. So, on to Daniel chapter 2. So Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that really bothered him, really upset him. So he called in. And he couldn't remember the dream. That was what made it even worse. So he called in Daniel, and Daniel told him what he dreamed, starting in verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." And I'm not going to read the whole thing here. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Okay, so the dream predicted the empires that would come after this time. And the stone, Christ, or the kingdom of Christ, crushed all those empires and grew and filled the whole earth. Now I want to talk a little about some empires in slightly more recent history. First of all, there was the Mongol Empire. Was the largest empire ever in terms of land mass. From 1206 to 1368, it covered 22% of the Earth's land mass and contained 100 million people. The Russian Empire, from 1721 to 1917, it stretched nearly halfway around the globe, from Eastern Europe over to Alaska. It was the third largest empire after the Mongol and the British. The British Empire, the largest ever, covered about a quarter of the Earth's land mass and a quarter of the Earth's population. Another significant one was the Ottoman Empire. This was an Islamic empire, and it's notable in that it lasted 7 centuries, from 1299 to 1923. They had a good run, and then they picked the wrong side in World War I. Okay, so now the American Empire. It covers about 6% of the world's land mass. It is third behind Russia and China, I mean, of the countries today. One of the unusual things about the American Empire is that it has 800 military bases in 70 countries and territories. And even more important than military power is economic power. The United States has the reserve currency. Many other countries use the U.S. dollar to do their trade, and as a result of that, they buy U.S. debt. And so the economic power is really what has fueled the military power. Okay, so what's the point of all this history? Well, from our human perspective, it's hard to really appreciate how insignificant we are in the big picture. We see everything from our point of view, and we get the feeling that we're pretty important. How often have you heard the statement, "This is the most important election in history"? And then 4 years later, that one is also the most important election in history. And because we've enjoyed so much wealth and power here in the United States, it's easy to just assume that things will always be this way. So it's really important to step back and get the big picture, the historical perspective. When we see the rise and fall of other empires, we have to face the fact that the United States isn't going to last forever either. So back to Christians and politics and our response and our attitude to politics. Now, I don't have time to get into the debate about whether we should vote or go to rallies or donate money to candidates. Here's my main point. Who do you trust, or what do you trust? And what are you spending your time and your resources, your energy on? Obsessing over politics or building the kingdom of Christ? And one of the things that really concerns me about politics is the tribalism and the division in the political debate. Candidates vie for advantage by attacking their opponents, and that carries over to the voters, who start to see the other voters as the enemy. And it really, really bothers me when I see Christians getting involved in that, because I think it's really counterproductive. So, next election cycle. Well, it's already starting, I guess. They're probably going to say, again, the most important election in history. So let's just try to remember to keep a historical perspective and, more importantly than that, keep an eternal perspective. And I think the historical perspective can help us remember that eternal perspective. So, remember the stone from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The stone that crushed the statue and that filled the whole earth. That is the kingdom that we serve. Amen. So let's be sure we don't lose our focus. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. Okay, sorry. Yeah, let's bow our heads for prayer. God, I thank you for entrusting us with the gift of your kingdom. Help us to never lose that perspective and not lose our focus. I pray your blessing on the rest of the service today. Help us to listen attentively, and I just pray that you would be honored through the rest of this service. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Josh.